There's the fanfare we look forward to each and every week here on Main Street. It's another edition of our movie review with our movie reviewer extraordinaire, Matt Olien. Matt, welcome back to Main Street.
Thanks, Greg.
We're going to have a curveball thrown at our listeners. Matt, why don't you tell our listeners what's up here, and then we're going to walk through a pretty fascinating list.
Well, the product in theaters right now is so bad, right? I mean, we reviewed Clown in a Cornfield last week, and need I say more, right? Outside of Sinners, there's not a lot to see. So this week and next week, we're going to count down my 20 top films of all time. We'll do 20 through 11 today, and then numbers 10 through 1 next week. In 2 weeks, I'll be back with a regular review of Mission Impossible Final Reckoning, and then in the weeks after that, The Phoenician Scheme, Friendship, F1 with Brad Pitt and Javier Bardem. So they're coming down very soon, but we thought we would just do this and see what listeners think of this, because yeah, there's really not a lot to see right now in theaters until Mission Impossible opens this coming weekend.
I feel like Casey Kasem now. We're going to walk through the
top
lists. And before we begin here, give our listeners a hint of a couple other lists you've maintained.
Yeah, my friend John Bodine and I, a couple years ago, did like an all-time top 100 comedy list, top 100 movies of all time, top 100 Westerns. And I keep a very, very detailed list of movies on a Word document of mine year by year, like what I would have voted for, this kind of thing. And I started that years ago. And so it's an easy reference for me to make. Now, you won't hear a lot of films in this list in the last 20 years. I do think films have to be around a while to kind of make this kind of a list. I do like films like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Mulholland Drive in the last 20 years that kind of, I think, will start making lists like this, Parasite. But yeah, let's go through it and see what listeners think. And, you know, there's going to be disagreements and some films people haven't seen, but this is my personal, what I think are the best films I've ever seen.
Just to drive Matt's point home, the oldest movies we're going to talk about today are from 1927, and the newest movies in this list is from, the newest movie is from 1979.
Right.
So Matt, let's start with a movie from 1966, A Man for All Seasons.
Yeah, I love this movie. This is one of the great period English, you know, royalty intrigue films ever made, directed by Fred Zinnemann, who remains kind of an underrated director, not as well known as some directors of his time, even though he won 2 directing Oscars. So this is about Sir Thomas More opposing Henry VIII's divorce, and it's just lovely to look at. The cinematography and the costumes and the set design are so magnetic, they almost pop off the screen. But Paul Scofield is Thomas More. He's the key to the film. He plays Thomas More, wins the Oscar for Best Actor. Saw this in high school, and I've seen it numerous times since, and I never get tired of it. Often on TCM if you haven't seen it.
And number 19, Day for Night.
Day for Night is directed by Francois Truffaut, French filmmaker who's long since passed away. This came out in 1973, won a bunch of awards. Day for Night is a movie term used in the film industry when you try to shoot night scenes, but it's during the daytime, or you're trying to, you know, you have to make it look like it's nighttime, even though you're shooting in the daytime. So it's a movie about the making of a movie, and it's so well done, and it's so interesting and funny. It's about these, it's, you know, it's shot, this French movie being made. Truffaut plays the director, and it's this drama that goes on inside the making of this movie. So it's a movie within a movie. And Truffaut really pulls it off, and it's just one of the great films of the 1970s if people have not seen it.
Number 18 on your list is the first on this list that I remember seeing, Matt. A fun one, American Graffiti.
I think it's George Lucas's best film. I know my Star Wars friends don't like it when I tell them that, but I think American Graffiti is, it's a moment in time, Craig. You watch this movie set in 1962, the last night before these college kids go off to college, cruising, driving. It's based a lot on Lucas's upbringing in Modesto, California, the car culture of California of that time. Wall-to-wall soundtrack on the radios as people are driving around. That was revolutionary. Francis Coppola produced this. He was Lucas's friend and kind of benefactor in the early days. But it's amazing. It launched the careers of Ron Howard, who already was kind of a child star. Cindy Williams, Richard Dreyfuss, a lot of people. Harrison Ford shows up, right, as the guy who wants to challenge John Milner to the big car race. But love this movie. Never get tired of watching it.
Was Wolfman Jack the DJ that we listened to?
He was. He's in the movie right at the end.
great movie. Mm-hmm. Cruise in Maine was a thing in our town, Matt. Yeah. I don't know if it was.
It was in Oaks.
For you and
it didn't take very long to cruise Maine and Oaks, but we did it.
All right, number 17, North by Northwest.
I think it's Alfred Hitchcock's best film to this date. I know, you know, talking about Hitchcock's best film is like talking about what's the best Beatles song. There's so many to choose from, but this is entertaining from start to finish. Cary Grant, Eva Marie Saint, James Mason, brilliant as the villain. Great soundtrack. You know, this chase starts in New York City, ends up on Mount Rushmore, right, in Rapid City, South Dakota, which makes it kind of local for people around here. But it's funny, it's tense, has some of the great set pieces we'll ever see from Hitchcock. You know, the auction room scene is so well done, the Mount Rushmore stuff at the end. I think it's his best film. It's his most entertaining film, I think. And a little more, you know, Vertigo gets more attention, I think, in top 10 lists from critics, which I like Vertigo a lot. But North by Northwest is just, I think, a little more entertaining and more fun, too.
Matt, my favorite Hitchcock movie is Rear Window, but that's not on your list.
It's definitely in my top 100. It's a lot of people say Rear Window is their favorite Hitchcock, and I can certainly abide by that. I just like North by Northwest a little bit better.
All right, number 16, a movie I also remember, Apocalypse Now.
So this will be
the
first entrance of Francis Ford Coppola movies on our list from this week and next week. That gives you a hint, doesn't it, Craig? What be coming later? But you know, Coppola has had an up and down career, but in the end, he probably directed three of the 20 best American films ever made. Of course, with Apocalypse Now. I saw this at the Lark Theater in Fargo when I was 14. My dad and I drove up to see it. I begged him to go first weekend. We watched it, and it's a great memory with my dad to let a 14-year-old go to this because he knew I was interested in movies like this. I think this is a film, when it first came out, critics weren't too sure about it, but over the years they've realized this is a masterpiece. I think the initial criticism of the film was the last half hour of the film when Martin Sheen finds Marlon Brando finally. Some thought that was an anticlimactic ending. I think now when I rewatch it again, it's the appropriate ending. There's so many good lines in this, Craig. Oh, my goodness. I mean, the narration from Sheen, you know, where he talks about they charged Kurtz with murder, and he says, charging a man with murder in this place is like handing out speeding tickets at the Indy 500. You know, just amazing lines like that as he narrates and kind of watches and observes things. Lawrence Fishburne, 18 years old, his first movie. Dennis Hopper's in this. Frederick Forrest. And who can forget Robert Duvall as Colonel Kilgore, you know, I love the smell of napalm in the morning. So I think in the end, this is one of the two best films about Vietnam. We'll talk about the other one next week. But just love this movie. Great soundtrack, too, of course, with The Doors singing The End.
So powerful. All right, Matt, we're not quite halfway through the list. Number 15, The Wild Bunch.
So 1969, Sam Peckinpah, this was the movie that really kind of broke open violence in movies. The final 20-minute, you know, gory shootout with the guys, William Holden, Ernest Borgnine, Ben Johnson, and Warren Oates, you know, going into this Mexican compound down in Mexico, and all hell breaks loose. And it's a ballet of violence is what I would talk about, how I would describe it, how Peckinpah does this. This is a Western, four outlaws kind of at the end of their rope, end of their career, who do one last job to kind of make a lot of money, and things go haywire as they often do in these one last job movies. But it's a Western that I think kind of enlarged the scope of the Western when people saw it. It was mutilated in terms of editing when it first came out, but now the final original Peckinpah cut of 2 hours, 25 minutes is usually what is shown on film and or on television if you see it on TCM or HBO or whatever. So if you like Westerns, you got to watch The Wild Bunch.
Two films back-to-back here from a long time ago, Matt. This one, Napoleon from 1927.
Yeah, this is a film by French director Abel Gance. I saw this in college, and the editing in this film is just, it's so good. You can't believe this was made in 1927. It's about Napoleon's career, and some of the scenes are almost like surrealistic, dreamlike. It's like 4 hours long. It's a hard film to get a hold of. It's really kind of a film that is hard to find on DVD, hard to find streaming. And so I apologize by putting this in there because it's a hard film to see. But if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about, how revolutionary this movie was.
Also a movie from quite a while ago, Sunrise.
So F.W. Murnau directed this. It was the first winner and only winner of the Oscar for Unique and Artistic Picture in 1928. And it's about this farmer, him and his wife go to the city on a day, on a weekend. And it's, you know, it's got some early sound in it. Even though this is a silent film, you see early sound effects. The cinematography is amazing. The story's amazing. This often appears on a lot of critics' top 10, top 20 lists and remains a masterpiece. We showed this at the Fargo Theater a couple years ago to honor my friend Tony McRae, who had passed away, who loved this movie. We had a good attendance. So Sunrise is a film that is available if you want to find it somewhere streaming or buy it on DVD.
Two more on Matt's top 20 list that we want to talk about today. This is number 12, All the President's Men, all about Watergate.
I assume you've seen this one, Craig. Most people have.
Actually met Bob Woodward, too, by the way.
Yeah, Robert Redford plays Bob Woodward. Dustin Hoffman plays Carl Bernstein. Jason Robards wins the Supporting Actor Oscar as Ben Bradley, the editor of the Washington Post. This is one of those movies, Craig, where you know the ending, right? We know Nixon resigns. We know the ending. But how do we get there? And it's like a mystery that these reporters track down and figure out, was there something other than just this third-rate burglary at the Watergate building in the Democratic headquarters? What's going on here? And as we've learned since then, the cover-up is always worse than the crime, or sometimes it is worse than the crime, and I think that's the message here. But the film is really just analytical, and every time it's on, I end up watching 15 or 20 minutes of it. The dialogue is great. The script is great. The acting is amazing. Hal Holbrook as Deep Throat, who can forget him meeting Redford in the car park, you know, to divulge information. I was fascinated by Watergate as a 9-year-old watching the hearings on television and seeing this movie come to life. It's an amazing movie made by Robert Redford's production company at the time and directed by Alan Bakula. And anybody interested in the media, in journalism, should watch this movie.
Matt, I also like The Post a lot, but it's not on your list.
I don't really care for The Post much. It's okay. It's like the C team version of All the President's Men, I would say.
Not even the B team.
Tom Hanks is not as good as Ben Bradley as Jason Robards was. We can talk about The Post another time, but I think it's subpar Spielberg, I guess. But I mean, I'm glad people saw it and it came out, but it pales in comparison to the artistry of All the President's Men.
Post, of course, was about the Washington mm-hmm. Post decision to publish the Pentagon
yes.
papers. All right, Matt, that brings us to our last movie today of your top 20 list. This will be number 11, The Best Years of Our Lives.
My father's all-time favorite movie, 1946, about returning veterans from World War II, and it really covered an issue that had not been covered, and that is how people adjust after war, PTSD. This was not talked about after World War II, as you well know, Craig, but it follows three veterans, played by Frederick March, Dana Andrews, and Harold Russell, who wins the Supporting Actor Oscar, a non-professional actor who lost his hands in World War II. So he has hooks on his hands. And for William Wyler, the director, to cast a non-professional actor in this role was groundbreaking in 1946. You would have thought they would have cast a major star, put hooks on his hands, you know, do something like that. But it really makes the film, gives it that realism that you're looking for. My dad, if this film was on, my dad would still watch a half hour or 45 minutes of it every time. It captured a moment in time of returning war veterans that really caught the public fancy, and it won a lot of Oscars, Best Picture that year, and it's a film I really love. It's 3 hours long, but it's once you start watching it, it's hard to stop watching it.
All right, we reviewed these movies number 11 through 20 in Matt's top 20 list. Matt, again, the movies were from number 20 up, A Man for All Seasons, Day for Night, American Graffiti, North by Northwest, Apocalypse Now, The Wild Bunch, Napoleon, Sunrise, All the President's Men, and The Best Years of Our Lives. So Matt, our trivia question today, of those movies, which won the most Academy Awards?
I think it's The Best Years of Our Lives with 7 Oscars.
That's exactly right. Matt, it's been great to review this list. We'll look at movies 1 through 10 next week here on Main Street. Matt, thanks for joining us.
You bet.